From October 20th to October 29th, WVLP's Jim Wolf accompanied 12 local business and civic leaders to China as guests of the Confucius Institute at Valparaiso University. This week, WVLP is broadcasting his observations from the trip.
The 12 business and civic leaders that Valparaiso University sent to China came from varied backgrounds, some having been to China before and others there for the first time. As one of the delegates said, it will take about a month for us, experienced with the country or not, to fully digest and understand the cultural and economic banquet that China is. However, these were leaders with minds used to looking to understand things. Many of the delegates noticed the dichotomy of the society. For Doug Miller, president of Miller Marketing Group, it started economically.
In Hangzhou City, how modern and how well landscaped and how lush everything is. I think there's also a big separation between the haves and the have-nots. You know, we traveled from Hangzhou to Yellow Mountain, and once you're outside the city limits, you see all these just miles and miles of little shacks and farms, and basically that's what I expected to see more of in China. I was really surprised by how modern, modern buses, modern cities, modern hotels, very westernized, the same with Shanghai, just all the construction everywhere. Construction cranes every time you turn around, all these big, beautiful high-rises.
The construction is the most outward sign of China's new growth, with as many as 14 cranes visible at an intersection in some Chinese cities. This meant as much to the United States economy as to China, for Rex Richards, president of the Greater Valparaiso Chamber of Commerce and a member of the Valparaiso Economic Development Corporation.
There are a number of shortages in the world regarding construction materials, and now I totally understand why there's the cost of concrete has gone up, the cost of some of the petroleum products have gone up. It's basically because of the demand of China and the amount of construction that they're doing. I have never seen so many construction cranes as I saw in China. It truly boggles the mind.
Because of that growth, the United States and Northwest Indiana need to understand not just China, but what our possible role in it could be, according to Vince Galbiati, president of the Northwest Indiana Forum.
From a competitive level, is this something that you want to go head-to-head with? And I think the American culture is, of course, we want to compete. We're one of the best countries in the world for competition. But when you understand the aggressiveness of their economic development, you begin to realize immediately that they're committed to global economic development, committed to globalization, and it has very little dependency on the United States. They're doing it for the development of their own communities. So for us, it was more of an interest that you want to develop relationships and partnerships rather than to try to outcompete. I think that's a fallacy in a global market. So for our interest is, how do you begin to build partnerships and what are the synergies between the two cultures that you can start developing business relationships? They're a very competitive modern society and they are market-based. This is not a communist China in the way that our parents thought of it. This is very much of a business machine.
There's been major social and economic change in China. What that means still remains to be seen. Valparaiso University Associate Provost Renu Junaja was able to shed some insight from 10 years' worth of visits to China, including a summer's long stay 2 years ago.
They have really opened up, and they continue to open up. I suppose the million-dollar question is that, is economic openness going to lead to political openness too? It hasn't yet. It's still very tightly controlled, party control. But that's what the prediction of some of the, intellectuals in the U.S. is that economic freedom, they won't be able to push the genie back in the bottle.
Vince Galbiati said knowing what China is about will be the key to our future with the country. A seasoned traveler who grew up abroad, Vince found much about China that fascinated him.
I don't think it's just one lesson to be learned. I think that it's a commitment to understanding the culture completely. And I don't think that, you know, a Western civilization ought to be tied to just understanding it. I think you really have to embrace how they think, why they are developing their commerce the way that they are. And I think there's pieces of that that you have to assimilate into your own business culture. There's nothing wasted. There's everything. I mean, there's anything that flies, crawls, comes out of the water. I mean, they'll eat it. I got a lot of respect for a culture that doesn't waste anything. And I think in China, that's one of the big lessons to be learned is that they don't waste. Space is utilized very efficiently. Every portion of what you can use for nutrition is used. It's a lot of admiration, but you're also talking about China being 1.3 billion people.
Besides widespread knowledge of English taught to all students at age 10, there's an understanding and desire to know of Western culture. This highlighted the cultural divide for Doug Miller.
They have ultra-modern things like the rail system, yet the you know, their toilet system, you know, is out of the dark ages. You know, and some of the things that they do are so far behind, other things are so far ahead. And, you know, I'll be interested to see when the delegation comes to Valpo in the spring, how they react to our culture.
There's also a dichotomy between the new generation of Chinese that needs understanding. While older bureaucrats of the Maoist era remain austere, those born in the 1980s, when China began to open up, embrace Western ideals more. Renu Junaja adds insight into their new habits.
Young spend much more freely, it seems to me. They're very, quite a bit fashion conscious and tight clothes. And when I came here 2 years ago in the summer, I was a little worried because I was with our American students and they sometimes are not sensitive enough to cultural mores. If, you know, they'd wear strapless stuff in the morning and the way they wear in the summer and very short shorts. But I was worried that the you know, Chinese would frown on it, but they didn't. It seems to me that they took it in their stride because some of the young are beginning to do that themselves. Particularly blonde girls or blonde young men still draw attention. When, as I said, I came 2 years ago, several of my students were very blonde, and of them got a free haircut because one of the other students had a hairdresser as a friend, and the hairdresser really just wanted the idea of being able to do something with blonde hair, and she got a free... I mean, this was a very professional hairdresser, and he said he'd do it for free just because he wanted to be able to touch and deal with blonde hair that he had never dealt before.
This is Jim Wolf signing off for WVLP's China Report. Thank you for listening.
The China Report has been a production of WVLP LP. Jim Wolf, writer, Justina Siska, producer, Mac McIntyre, editor, Dan Watt, engineer. Our theme music is Green Willow off the CD The River on a Spring Moonlit Night. More information on the music is available online at shlsmusic.com.